19 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much, as always, for having me.
Well, lots of things to talk about this month. Of course, one of the things we want to talk about, Senator McConnell indicated yesterday that the confirmation of Loretta Lynch as U.S. Attorney General would likely be held up until the Senate passes a new the human trafficking bill, which I understand wouldn't have any problem passing without an anti-abortion provision that was included in the bill that Democrats have a problem with.
Yes, the bill has the Hyde Amendment included in there that prohibits funding for any sort of abortion except for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. It was in the bill for the last couple months. There's a claim all of a sudden that it's just been found and they're objecting. But I think the bigger problem is that, the filibustering, the objecting has been going on really since Congress started. So, we've got to get some things done. And Senator McConnell offered an amendment that they could strike it out if they could have the votes, but they refused to do that. So I think we'll get that done this week and then go ahead to the nomination probably next week.
Well, of course, you know, human trafficking is a very serious issue that I think we can all agree needs to be addressed. Is this provision important enough to delay action on human trafficking over it?
I don't think it is at all. This bill passed out of a committee with a unanimous vote, and certainly this is a very, very serious issue. The good news is that really has a lot of attention that's been drawn to it. It's something that we need to do all that we can to prevent, and I think this bill is a good step in the right direction.
Well, regarding the Lynch nomination, why does her confirmation have to come after you deal with human trafficking? The Senate is capable of holding a confirmation vote and even a debate while debating another issue, aren't you?
I think it's just the idea that, it's something that the president wants to get done. It's something that Democrats want to get done in the Senate. She's probably got the votes to get confirmed. I think it's just the idea. It's just gives McConnell some leverage so that they actually will allow in the vote, to go forward on the human trafficking bill. And if you don't like the bill, the way the system works is you offer an amendment to strike things out, but they simply won't go forward, under these circumstances, which is just not fair to hold the bill hostage.
Well, Lynch was considered a shoe-in until she backed the president's immigration plan. Is this a case of punishing her in some way for that?
No, I don't think it's a case of punishing her. It's not on the immigration plan, but the president, as you know, has done a number of things that are gray, controversial, I think unconstitutional. And she said unequivocally that she supported all of those and would support his actions in the future. And so I think that's why people have real concern with their confirmation.
Well, another thing that a lot of people are expressing concern about is you were one of 47 Republican senators who signed on to an open letter to Iran and its leadership, warning them that any agreement they may reach with the Obama administration involving their nuclear program could be nullified by Congress or by the next president. Now, there's been criticism of this letter that's come not only from Democrats but from some members of your own party. Do you still think this was a good idea?
Well, I think there's been a lot of criticism. There's also been a lot of support. And the reality is that the president has reported the situation that we know about, and sadly we don't know near as much about it as we should know about it, is not a good deal. This is about whether or not my children, whether or not my grandchildren, our listeners, children and grandchildren, will have to deal with nuclear war in the Middle East. If Iran is allowed to go nuclear, Saudi Arabia will go nuclear, Egypt will go nuclear, Turkey will go nuclear, possibly Jordan, if they can get enough funding to do it. But nuclear proliferation in the Middle East would not make any of us any safer.
Well, I read a piece written for Politico by Gary Sick, an Iran expert and former member of the National Security Council. He said in that article that Iran has actually been capable of making a nuclear weapon for the past decade or so and have not done so. What evidence do you have that they would if they could?
Well, here's a country that is sitting on $500 billion barrels of oil that claims that they want to make a nuclear plant to provide electricity. They've ruined their economy. Several of their scientists have been assassinated over this. Why would you, with any logic at all, why would you do that? This is all about Iran going nuclear. They've publicly said what they're going to do with Israel, and then they'll deal with the West once they do that. While the talks were going on, they were practicing bombing an American mock-up of an aircraft carrier. And they're also in the process of developing intercontinental ballistic missiles. So when you put all that together, it just simply doesn't make any sense. The other problem is that I think really the thing that brought this to a head was that the Senate feels like it should weigh in. I consider this a treaty. I can't imagine anything more important than this decision. The idea that the president feels like he can go alone on this and then threatened a veto, said he would veto any bill that that we passed that made it mandatory that he would have to bring it to the Senate. Again, I think this is the thing that actually brought it to a head, and that's why the action was done that was done.
But if the Senate continues to intervene on foreign policy negotiations, how can any administration now or in the future negotiate agreements in good faith without the other party doubting the president, whoever he is or she is, the ability to hold up his or her end of the deal?
Well, I think, you know, part of the Constitution is that the Senate should approve the treaties. And the president has made it very clear in this case that he's not going to bring it to the Senate. And so it's an extraordinary situation brought about by a president that simply is unwilling, not only in this case, but cases before, to follow the Constitution, that feels like he knows better than everybody else.
Well, now, when Senator Cotton was asked about this letter potentially emboldening hardliners in Iran, he responded that everyone in Iran is a hardliner. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all, in the sense that, you know, I'm sure that you know, there's people that are split. But I would agree that the people that are controlling the country are hardliners.
Okay, but wasn't the current president, Hassan Rouhani, elected by a landslide on a platform of nuclear transparency and improving relations with the U.S. and other foreign nations?
Well, I don't know what he was elected on, in the sense of, you know, he can say whatever he says, but when you look at the experience that we've had, whether it's our country, whether it's the nuclear inspectors, it has not been a good one. Iran is the leading sponsor of terrorism throughout the world. They continue to do that, and I think we have to be very, very suspicious of anything that they say.
Well, shifting gears, let's talk about some domestic issues. We've talked about before the need for improvements in access to mental health services for veterans, and you've got some legislation now to address these needs. Tell us about that.
Yes, sir, we do, and this is something that's so very, very important. Right now, today, 22 veterans will commit suicide, and that's, you know, that's committing suicide. Many other veterans are really struggling and having problems. So the key is getting enough personnel out there to help them, and it's not only veterans. Mental health care is just a real issue throughout Arkansas, throughout the country. So what we're trying to do in the case of the veterans is get other providers, training physicians, assistants, ancillary personnel to be able to help the psychiatrist and psychologist in getting some help to the veterans out there.
Well, now you mentioned the veteran. You mentioned people besides just veterans needing mental health care. Are there provisions to expand this to beyond just veterans?
No, but this particular bill doesn't, but that's something that I'm very, very interested in. You know, sadly, I've been in county jails where you have people that are there, prominent members of the community that are there on suicide watch in a jail cell simply because there's no place to put them. There's no beds available. And so this is something that we as a state, we as a nation really do need to address and do a much, much better job. Many of the people that are homeless, you know, have mental issues, and that's the reason that they are homeless. So, like I said, it really does affect society in a very negative way.
Well, how do you deal with this in an atmosphere of budget cutting when more money is needed in this area?
Well, I think, you know, you look long term, and this is one of those things that you can get more personnel out there. You can kind of nip it in the bud, or you can let it go forward, and then you wind up spending a lot more money dealing with it. The problems get more serious, and as a result, then the treatments and the effect on society gets more, where you wind up paying the cost anyway. Mm-hmm. But this is an effort, like I say, just to stretch the personnel that we have, get people that aren't quite trained, quite as well, but would work under their jurisdiction, in order to make it such that they can spread themselves even more. The telemedicine is another aspect that, is going forward with. So there's lots of technology out there, and we just want to use all of the things that we can to try and help the problem.
Right. Now, on another subject, in your first hearing as chairman of the Subcommittee on the Financial Services and General Government Appropriations, you questioned the commissioner of the IRS about a concern you had regarding illegal immigrants.
I did, and the problem is that a couple things: the Earned Income Tax Credit. Many people are using that that shouldn't be using that. Several of them being illegal immigrants. About 25% of that program is fraud and abuse. That's just totally unacceptable. The other problem is that the people that the president is proposing to give status to, the illegal immigrants that are here, the 5 million, almost immediately, they would get Social Security numbers and be able to get back taxes, things like that, again, which the average American feels is unfair. The other problem we've got is, and the list goes on and on, but we're wasting $1 billion a year from prisoners sitting in their jail cells, filling out tax reforms and stuff, bilking the IRS. So these are things that we simply have to work on. It's not fair, and these are problems. We talk about Iran. We talk about the Middle East and all of the problems there. These are problems that we can solve if we would, just concentrate on and quit wasting taxpayers' money, because the reality is the other taxpayers are having to pay for all of this.
Well, we continue to debate this issue of illegal immigration, and the debate, of course, focuses primarily on those who are already here, what to do about them, how to prevent more from coming in. Setting aside the issue of those who are already here, the prevention issue tends to focus on border security and deportation. I assume you're okay with people who come here to work from Mexico, Central America, and other places as long as they do it legally, right?
Oh, for sure. In fact, we can be very proud, and I've been to several of the ceremonies. We naturalize 1 million people a year. There's 5 million people in line that are doing it right. We naturalize more people every year than the entire rest of the world put together. So what I would like to see done, if I were king and could do this, tomorrow, would be to secure the border, because no matter what what solution you do, if you don't secure the border, you're going to be in the same situation. I'd hold employers accountable. I would make it such that you had an easy system to verify whether or not the worker was legal or not. If workers aren't being hired by employers, they're not going to come here. And then the other thing is, I would work and make sure that we had a strong visa program that would allow people to come in the industries that we need, support in. Agriculture is certainly one of those that I think we would all agree on, and there's a number of others. But that's how you do it in a logical, legal way, and that's what the American public wants.
So what you mentioned some of these, but what are the barriers that that people face in coming here legally, and how can we break down some of those barriers and expedite the legal process?
Well, again, that's a huge problem. We need to concentrate on making it such that we can expedite those that are going through the process. The problem is people are doing that, but you've just got a number of others that simply have walked across the border and are here illegally. And until you secure the border, you can't deal with that.
Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.